Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We're thankful for visitors that are with us. Among our visitors, we have Taylor's mother and father down from Louisville, and we're thankful for their presence. Try to get to meet them before they get out of here, and ask that maybe just stick around a little bit and let people get to know you. If I'm not mistaken, Rob, do you preach in Louisville? So that's what I thought. So we're thankful to have you all with us today and encourage you to come back whenever you have the opportunity. This morning I want to direct your attention to a familiar passage to us, Genesis chapter 8, and we generally look at verses 31 and 32. I want to continue reading here through verse 47. It says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, 'We will be made free'?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but the son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would have done the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." And they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came forth from him, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he was a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God." As we begin reading here with verse 31, we realize that we're in the midst of a context. I might just guess you might say a situation. He has been speaking to a large group of people, and among those that he is speaking to, there we see that there are believers present. But most of his comments have been directed to the Jews, especially the ruling Jews and those who were trying to trick him into saying something that they could accuse him by. He's been in conversation with them. And so in the midst of that conversation, he turns to the Jews who believed him. And he makes this statement. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." To be a disciple of Christ, we must abide in his word, not in what feels right to us and what we think might be right. It's not up to us to determine how to worship God or how to live our lives. We must recognize that Jesus is indeed the Word of God made flesh, and that we must continue to abide in the Word. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is truth? God's word is truth. If you abide in the word of Christ, you will be abiding in truth. You will be his true disciple. The truth will make you free. You know, we just celebrated our Declaration of Independence in this country. Our pursuit of liberty and the celebration of freedom. I think that's what got me to thinking about this particular lesson and how much we as human beings cherish freedom and liberty. Some cherish it to the point and desire that their loved ones live in freedom and liberty so much that they are willing to give their own lives. Our founding fathers pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their honor as they signed that Declaration of Independence. Freedom is something that we cherish. We recognize that there are people throughout the world who do not live in freedom, who do not share the same liberties that we do. We would hope that they would be able to. But as Christians, do we cherish our freedom? I hope that this lesson will help us to cherish our freedom as those who abide in the Word of God and practice it in their daily lives. Notice, as you drop down to verse 34, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." As Jesus was speaking to those who believed on him, that they needed to abide in his word and participate in the freedom that is found in practicing the truth, the unbelieving Jews answered and said, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage." Well, some of Abraham's descendants were in bondage, weren't they? I guess they were saying, this generation of Abraham's descendants have never been in bondage. No, you're not really in bondage, but you're not a self-governing people anymore either, are you? They were not free to rule themselves. They were murmuring and complaining about the fact that they were under the legislation, the civil legislation of the Roman Empire. They didn't like that one bit. They complained about it all the time. And now they pretend that they are free. Well, they're not experiencing the freedom that they would like to experience. And we realize that they're talking about freedom in a civil sense, and Jesus is talking about freedom in a spiritual sense. That they're not on the same page. But Jesus is trying to make a point about the oppression that they feel like they're receiving at the hands of the Romans and transfer that over to true and genuine freedom. We're not in bondage to anyone. Yeah, you are. You're in bondage to your sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Think about that for a moment. In Romans 3 and verse 23, of course, we are told that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whoever has sinned has made themselves a slave of sin. So if we have all sinned, then we've all made ourselves slaves of sin. In Romans 6 and verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, You are that one slave who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. We've all sinned. We've all made the choice to be a servant of sin, a slave of sin. And we don't think about it that way, do we? And those that Jesus were speaking to that day, they didn't think of it that way, but Jesus said, this is the truth. This is the way it is. And you need to recognize it. To whom you present yourselves, you are slaves to obey. Now I want you to think about something. Regardless of how good you may consider yourself to be, your soul is in a holding cell, waiting to be transferred to eternal torment. Your soul is not free. The wages of your sin is separation from God. Separation from everything that is good. And separated to everything that is evil. Everything that you're afraid of, everything that you dread, you are separated to that, and your soul is in a holding cell right now because of your sin. Just like these people that Jesus was speaking to here on this day, that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Their souls were in a holding cell, waiting to be delivered to eternal torment. Jesus didn't want that for them. He doesn't want it for you or me. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But unless we repent, unless we turn from our sin, we will remain in this holding cell and be delivered to that place of eternal torment. As we continue here, he says, a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's really what I want to focus on this morning, that statement. You shall be free indeed. You might live in the United States of America and the land of the free, but your soul is not free if you have sinned. Your soul is still doomed for eternal torment. You're not free indeed until you abide in the Word of God. Until you abide in Jesus and His words of truth. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Are you free in Christ? Have you accepted the freedom that is in Him? How does Christ make us free? Well, He makes us free by His blood. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." His blood was shed to take away sins. If you want to escape the holding cell of your sin, your sins have to be remitted. And that can only take place in the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins." Revelation 7 and verse 14. John had been asked a question. He said, "Who are these?" And John responded, "Well, you know." And so he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Have you done that? Have you washed the blood of washed the garment of your life in the blood of Christ and had your sins washed away in His blood? Christ makes us free by His Word. In Isaiah 61 and verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who were bound." Jesus would later read this in the hearing of those of His day and say, "This day this passage is fulfilled in your ears." His Word sets us free from this bondage, this cell of our sin. Romans 8 and verse 2 tells us that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. That's the law. But we can be set free from that law by the law of Christ, the Word of God, abiding in His Word. Romans 8 and verse 21 says, "Because the creation itself," that's us, "also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." How does that take place? By us hearing and believing and trusting and obeying the Word of God. From turning from our selfish desire to gratify self in sin, to turning to wanting to honor Him and glorify Him in the practice of His Word. Loving Him and revering Him. Keeping His commandments. Again, we come back to our passage, and we notice here that Jesus said to them, He said, "My Word has no place in you." The Word sets us free. But He said to these individuals, "My Word has no place in you. You're not listening to me." That's what Jesus is saying. You're not listening to me. You will not allow my Word to have its place in you. You are so full of yourself and wanting to do your will that you will not humble yourself before God to practice His Word. You will not allow my Word to have place in you. As we drop on down here to verse 41, He says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my Word." Don't you find it interesting here that they say, "Well, Abraham is our father." So Jesus deals with that. If Abraham was your father, you would do what Abraham did. Abraham heard the Word of God, believed it, trusted it, and obeyed God. You won't do that. You will not allow the Word of God even into your heart. You won't listen to it. Then they say, "Well, God is our Father." No, that's not going to work either. Because God is love. And you don't love God. You will not love Him more than you love yourself. You are not able to listen to Him. Notice He said in verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. I have not come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?" I'll tell you why you don't understand my speech. Because you're not able to listen to my Word. You don't love God. God is not your Father. He is a God of love. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, because he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. The devil is not of the truth, and you are proving yourselves to be of the devil because you will not allow the truth to abide in you so that you might be made free. I tell you the truth, and instead of you considering what I say, believing what I say, you grow farther away from me. You reject me even more. The truth is not in you. You will not allow the truth to abide in you. Which of you convicts me of sin? Not a single one of them. And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? I'm telling you, you will not believe me because you are not of the truth. He who is of God hears God's words. I want you to notice that with me for just a few moments. Jesus has touched on this before. In John chapter 3, you'll remember when Nicodemus came to him by night, and Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit." And those things were mysterious at the time. In hindsight, for you and I, and all that we know of the revelation of God's Word, we know exactly what he's talking about, but that was very difficult to hear that night. But the point came down to that Nicodemus came to him and said, "We know that you're a teacher come from God, because no one can be doing these miracles that you're doing unless God is with him." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to teach you something." And Nicodemus said, "How can that be?" And essentially, Jesus said, you don't have to know how it can be. You just have to know that it's the truth. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That conversation ended with these words, very important words. John 3, and beginning with verse 19, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They loved practicing evil. They didn't want to turn from evil. They didn't want to turn to the light. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. He who does the truth comes to the light. Think about that. He who does the truth comes to the light. Are you coming to the light? Are you walking in the light? Jesus said that he was the light, and he invites us to let his light shine through us, that we might be the lights of the world. He who does the truth comes to the light. Do you desire to live in the truth and invite others to do the same? We come back to our passage, and he says, because you do not hear, you do not hear because you are not of God. Just like Nicodemus that night came to a realization, he was being tested. Well, I'm either going to have to believe Jesus, who I said is a teacher come from God. I don't understand what he's teaching me right now, but I have to believe it, or I'm not of God. And friend, you have to believe it, or you're not of God. I have to believe it, or I'm not of God. I have to believe it and trust it and obey it and live it, or I'm not of God. and I'm not free. To be free, I must abide in His truth. Prove yourself to be of God. Just as Jesus turned to those in that vast audience of unbelievers, He turned to those few who believed on Him, and He said, keep abiding in My Word. Keep abiding in My Word. Keep proving that you're of God. Keep hearing these words of truth and living these words of truth. Trust and obey the Word of God. And as Jesus said, be free indeed. Be truly free. Not just free in a civil sense, to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy in our country, but to be truly free. In Romans 6 and verses 16 and 18, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey? Which one is it, friend? Are you a slave of sin, destined for eternal torment? Or are you a slave of righteousness, destined for an eternity in the presence of Almighty God in the heavenly host? Regardless of how good you may consider yourself to be, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as these people I see on the 6 o'clock news. I'm a pretty good person. Regardless of how good you consider yourself to be, your soul is in a holding cell. You have sinned. And your soul is in a holding cell waiting to be transferred to eternal torment. When will that transfer take place? I don't know. You don't know. But you know where your soul is now. You know that you're not free from the consequences of your sin. That the only way you can do that is to turn from your sin, believing in Christ, trusting Him and obeying Him and abiding in His Word from this day forward. And Galatians chapter 5 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. He's the only one. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Believe Him, trust Him, and obey Him. Accept this good news of salvation that is available to us in Christ. And be baptized this very day for the remission of your sins. Be set free from that holding cell and embrace the liberty that is in Christ. Be free indeed. If you need to take that step of baptism this morning, please do so. We're ready. Everything's ready. If you're here as a child of God and you find that you're out of favor with Him, you need to repent, confess, and have your brothers and sisters pray with you and for you on your behalf. Please let it be known. Abide in the Word of God and be free indeed. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?
There's a fountain free to for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come just for you and me, thirsty soul?